It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. I've often thought about these opening lines of Charles Dickens' novel, A Tale of Two Cities. In many ways, it has summed up how I have often felt in this past year. There were good things, and there were hard things. So much division and polarization. On the negative side of the ledger, there was much confusion about the pandemic. What was going on? How long was this going to last? Can we get through this? Why has everything changed? I would say, I think for the first time in my memory, a global event affected my life down where I lived and worked. Ministry, the way I had known it for all of my adult life, had changed. I was not prepared for this. I hadn't been trained for it. There was a lot of division, whether it was within churches, within families. Everything and every perspective felt like it had been politicized. Liberal or conservative interpretations delineated which camp you belonged to. Similarly, eschatological and apocalyptic visions were hijacked by every stream of conspiracy. It was like somebody had taken the volume knob on anxiety and had just cranked it all the way to 10. I found myself emotionally volatile. There was times where I overreacted. I reacted disproportionately to what the situation called for. We were isolated from one another. People we worked with or prayed with or saw week after week at church disappeared from our lives. So there was a lot of negatives. But there was also positives. Along with my layoff from work came this gift of free time, and I utilized that to do lots of cycling. And cycling for me is that space where I get centered again. I process my junk, I pray, I clear my head. And beyond the physical exercise, there's an opportunity for me to regain my emotional and mental equilibrium. There's a spiritual discipline that's called solvitur ambulando, which means it is solved by walking. For me, it is solved by cycling. Another one of the unexpected gifts for me was to reconnect with people that I had kind of lost touch with. Because we were no longer involved in face-to-face relationships, it's like all of a sudden now I was connecting with people digitally that I didn't see or I was physically removed from. I reconnected with a friend in Holland, and we've stayed in better touch over recent days. I also reconnected with a friend that I went to college with. His name's Dan Carla, and he's a pastor up in Prince George, and we've been able to support each other this past year. We text probably almost every day, and we spend some time praying over FaceTime every 2 weeks. And so there's been some really good things that have come out of this season for which I am grateful. Whatever the case, I know it's been a mixed bag for all of us. And depending on what we focus on, depends on whether we see the glass half full or half empty. So how do we make sense of this? How do we not just chalk it up to the dichotomy of the experiences that we have? Over this next month, we're going to look at Psalm 23, David's most famous psalm. And I think it helps us with this. It speaks to both realities. It talks about verdant pastures and also dark valleys. David starts with seeing God for who he is and what he does. Instead of only seeing the darkness or the challenge or the things that are hard, instead of just focusing on the division that's created or the lack that he may feel, he has this capacity to see the positive aspects of who God is and how he provides for him. It's not a denial of the trouble. And he's not saying that there isn't a valley of deep sorrow. We're going to get to that next week. But that harsh reality, the challenging time that we're in, whether it's globally, whether it's locally, whether it's in our families, with our work, our relationships, those things can be immersed in God's past kindness and also in his future promise. Psalm 23 kind of gets to both of those things. For David, it anchored him through the best of times and the worst of times, and he had plenty of both. Psalm 23. What more could be said that hasn't already been said about this psalm? There's lots of material out there. Lots of things have been said about this psalm. It is one of David's most famous songs. My desire today is to park it within this framework of what for us might be considered the best of times and the worst of times. Psalm 23 is often read at funerals or used in some other way to console people, and rightly so. But the richness of it extends way beyond that narrow context. I'll look at the first three verses today. Next week, Pastor Duane's going to look at verse 4. Then I'm going to look at verse 5 the following week, and Pastor Chet's going to bring it to a close with verse 6 at the end of the month. So we're going to look at the first three verses, Psalm 23. They're about awareness and they're about care. David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." I said these verses talk about awareness and care. David talks about his awareness of God and his awareness of himself. And he also realizes that God is the one who cares for him. So let's start at the beginning. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. David's self-awareness is germinated in the soil of his awareness of God. His awareness of God is critical, and it's critical for us, especially in this emotionally charged context that we find ourselves living in today. David starts with the awareness of God. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Really, everything begins and ends with our understanding of God. It is the most basic question that defines us. What we say about who God is, how we answer that question, who is God? It must have been an important concept because even Jesus did this with his disciples. He sat them down and he said, "Who do other people say that I am?" And then he asked them directly, he said, "Who do you say that I am?" It begs the question of what shapes our image of God, what distorts it, and can we bring it back into clearer focus? Some guy that used to preach here quite a bit, some of you may remember him, Stuart McKnight, he said, "The local church does not so much need a more compelling vision of how to be a better church. Rather, I believe the local church needs a more compelling and grander vision of God." How we see God, our awareness of him, our experience of him, impacts everything else. David uses a metaphor that, while in some ways is fairly familiar with us, especially if we've been around church, we've heard this kind of shepherd thing quite a bit, but most of us are not really connected with the concept of a sheep herder anymore. It feels like it's from a bygone era. Apparently there are still sheep farms and shepherds around. It's a lifestyle and a vocation for some, but in this kind of urbanization that we live in, it kind of seems like we're kind of out of touch with the language that David is using here. But David speaks of what he knows. He connects his awareness of God with his circumstances, with something that he's familiar with. It would be like a doctor saying, "The Lord is my surgeon." Or a writer saying, God is my author. So this is could be an interesting exercise for each of us is to think, okay, what is my context? Maybe what is my vocation? What language am I really familiar with? And how do we bring God into that context from the sense of helping us understand who he is better? One idea from this metaphor at this point, sheep instinctively follow the shepherd. In my research, I came across quite a bit of information that talked about how you could have a sheep pen that was filled with different flocks, and then a shepherd would come, and he would call his sheep to go out and graze in the pasture. And only the sheep that belonged to him would follow him, because they know his voice. Jesus picks up on this when he identifies himself as the good shepherd. He says, "The sheep know my voice, and they follow me." Again, it begins with our awareness of God. If the Lord is our shepherd, we know his voice and we follow him. And that awareness of him, in turn, informs our self-awareness. Some of us may struggle to see the connection here, but David's sense of himself is rooted in who God is and how he sees God. He sees God as his shepherd, and therefore he sees himself as not lacking anything. The theologian John Calvin said, "The knowledge of God and that of ourselves are connected. Without a knowledge of self, there is no knowledge of God. And without the knowledge of God, there is no knowledge of self." See, the result of David's knowledge of God is that his soul, his whole being really, is at rest. He affirms that he lacks nothing. Other translations put it this way. They say, "I am not in want." Our capacity to be in such a place of contentment is connected to our experience of God and our awareness of his reality in our lives. Jesus spoke about this in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, he said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Again, our sense of wholeness is anchored in our awareness of God, in our experience of him and how he directs our lives. One of the questions that's been kind of a constant companion for me this past year is, what is the gift in this moment? It gets to finding the light amidst the darkness. Am I looking for the light, or am I just content to complain about the darkness? And this is tricky, because I don't think we should diminish or deny the reality of how challenging the times are that we live in. The valley of darkness is real. Losses are real, and grieving is important. But will we allow it to overshadow God's faithfulness in the past, or will we allow it to overshadow his future promise? And that's what the psalm gets to. I was thinking it's kind of like the story of Peter when he was walking on the water, and then the wind came up and the waves rose, and he started to sink. It was, as long as he was focusing on Jesus, he was okay. And as soon as he focused on the storm, he was overcome by it. And I think it's for us that way too. As long as we focus on the challenge and the storms around us, it's like we can be overcome by them. We need a renewed vision of God that anchors us in the storm. Our healthy self-awareness will be nurtured in a correct appreciation of who God is. The Lord is our shepherd. Our contentment rises and falls to the degree that we know that and live into that. David also sees God as the one who cares for him. And knowing that we are cared for is essential, especially in this season where there's constant change. He says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." See, David's emotional equilibrium is sustained by the loving care of his God and how he sees God providing for him. So what does it mean for me to lie down in a green pasture? What does being led by a quiet stream look like? Do I have to do anything? How is my soul being refreshed? Can I see God leading me in the right paths? My friend Dan Carlo that I referred to earlier, he's been reading a book called Lead Like a Shepherd by Larry Osborne, and he shared some of the insights from that book with me, and I just want to share them with you because they're really quite great in helping us understand this context and this metaphor that David uses in the psalm. Osborne writes, he says, "Sheep need water, but they're afraid of moderate to fast-moving streams. So a free-range shepherd had to make sure his sheep were always near water that was slow-moving or dammed. And whenever there wasn't any nearby, he had to dam it himself. Otherwise, the sheep wouldn't drink. Ironically, running water is purer and healthier. The faster, the better. It must have been frustrating for a shepherd to constantly search for still water or to have to dam up a portion of the stream when the only reason it was necessary was his flock's stubborn refusal to drink from running water." Then Osborne says, "I would have been tempted to sit down and wait for them to get thirsty enough to drink anyway, much like I did when my kids refused to eat what Mom put before them. They had two choices, eat or go to bed hungry. Problem solved. But that's not what a good shepherd does. He adapts to the weaknesses and limitations of his flock, even when those fears and limitations are unfounded and frustrating. He knows his job is to keep them healthy and hydrated, no matter what it takes to get the job done." These are great insights, and they remind us of how God cares for us. Ultimately, in Christ, he has adapted himself to us, to our limitations, to our weaknesses. And through Christ, he seeks to refresh us. Knowing that we are cared for is essential in the midst of constant change. And knowing that we are cared for in this way provides security in the uncertainty of our times. We need the perspective of seeing how God provides for us. When we are being made to lie down, it is at his direction. And so we can say, what is the gift in this moment? How is God blessing me? How is God providing for me? How is God nurturing me? I mentioned one of the impacts of this past year was the way that I overreacted emotionally at times. I got caught up reacting rather than responding, making emotional decisions and not sound decisions. You know, when it comes to our emotions, it's not about ignoring them, but rather paying particular attention to them in order to process them in such a way that we can function in sound, rational ways. But how do we process our emotions? How do I deal with my emotional response to life? It is both simple and difficult at the same time. It's simple in the sense that all that is required of me is to identify what I'm actually feeling. And right there is where it's also the most difficult. If I asked you how you're feeling right now, what would you say? I feel good? I feel bad? Well, good and bad are not feelings. In fact, our feelings, whether negative or positive, are neither good nor bad. They just are. They are an expression of what's going on inside of us. They're like the indicator light on our dashboard that tells us something that we need to pay attention to, something that's going on. And the Psalms, as a whole, not just Psalm 23, but the whole book, gives us license for the expression of a complete range of emotions to identify our human response to all of life. And identifying a given emotion is the first step in not having that emotion dominate me or control my life. When I can say that I feel irritable, it is very different than when I respond in irritable ways to the people around me, whether it's my boss or my spouse or my kids, my coworkers, my friends. In fact, when I become aware of this turmoil that's going on inside of me and can name it, it is disarmed of its power to control my life. When we speak truth to ourselves, we bring that into the light of God's grace. I can admit that I'm angry and then I can choose to respond, not in an angry way, but aware that that dynamic is going on within me. Or I can deny the truth, stuff it, pretend it isn't there, and yet create carnage in the relationships around me. In the last couple of years, one of the things that I developed was a chart that I kept on my desktop, and it's got all these feelings listed on it. And so one of the things that I used to do is every couple days, I'd open up this document, and I'd just say to myself, okay, how am I feeling right in this moment? And we're going to share these with you online in the chat, and also you'll be able to access this document. And you'll see across the top, there's anger, sadness, fear, enjoyment, love, surprise, disgust, and shame. So kind of some broad categories. And then under each column, there's more specifics. And so what I did is I tried to learn how to discern, okay, what am I feeling in any given moment, and just identify it. And so I encourage you to use this, and you can, you know, if this is completely new to you, you know, figure out just kind of the broad category of something that you're feeling. And if you've done this for a while or you kind of get used to that, you can zero in on something a little bit more specific. Like say, you know, if you think you're feeling sad, like, okay, is it depressed or is it disappointed or is it weary? And so you can zero in a little bit more specifically in terms of how you're feeling. So I guess what I'm saying is I want to encourage you to give yourself permission to feel and to learn to identify what those feelings are. Begin with the basics and then learn to become more specific about them. Knowing that we are cared for is essential in the midst of constant change, and our emotional equilibrium is sustained by the loving care of our God. Some 20 years ago, I had the privilege of sailing through the Bahamas. Okay, it's rather beautiful. One of the most prominent features is the aqua blue water. And this is created by this shallow water bank of over 200,000 square kilometers, where often the water is less than 10 meters deep. But this beauty also constitutes one of the dangers in the Bahamas, namely the constant shifting of the sands under the surface of the water due to the seasonal hurricanes that kind of sweep through this area year after year. And so what this means is that a sailor absolutely always needs to have the most current charts available. Otherwise, you could run aground on a sandbar, damage your boat. Constant changing seas require updated charts. Similarly, in our lives, the constant changing circumstances require something constant for us, something that helps us stay moored and anchored. For David, it was the consistency of his God's care. God helps us to find and maintain our emotional stability, and reminding ourselves of God's goodness and care keeps us stable in the midst of unstable time. David says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His namesake. In the Bahamas, the dangers lurking underneath are easy to miss when you look at the serene beauty. And conversely, for us today, the graces of God can sometimes be hard to see when we're in the midst of circumstances that we don't like. Self-awareness is anchored in a properly proportioned awareness of God. That's the place where we need to start. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. And knowing that we are cared for by a loving God keeps us settled in unsettling times. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His namesake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You are blessed, and we thank You that You hear our prayer, and we praise You, eternal God, as the sovereign of the universe, and that You are in complete control. We thank You for Your faithfulness to us in providing for us, in caring for us, and sustaining us, and for bringing us through 2020 and into 2021. And our hope that this year would be better is not in the circumstances of the year itself, but in Your provision and care for us. We ask that You would take pleasure in Your people. Would You bestow abundance upon us from the goodness of Your loving kindness? Strengthen our hearts and our hands that we might be agents of Yours in our community to make desolate places fruitful again, and that we may show the world that there's a better way to live. We ask that it would be Your will, God, to guide our footsteps towards peaceful pastures and still streams. May You refresh our souls. Grant us grace, kindness, and mercy, those right paths that You want us to walk for Your sake. And so we ask that You would help us. Give us strength to combat anxiety and despair and to become Your people who live beyond division, beyond confusion, and beyond fear. Show us how to put our present circumstances into Your perspective. Teach us to have faith in Your new day that is coming. You are indeed our shepherd, and You withhold nothing good from us. And so we thank You, God, today for Your blessings, and we thank You for tomorrow's hope, and we thank You for Your abiding love. Amen.